celebrate mothers, and that's what I want to talk about today as I invite you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to the Old Testament, and I want to say that we not only came into this world as a result of a mother birthing us into this world, but mothers, where would we be without them? And mothers are the ones who have made such a huge investment. Mothers are the ones, especially in our culture, that we see picking up the slack, if you will, oftentimes. Mothers are the ones that oftentimes have that steadfastness, no matter what happens in life and happens in the family. They become the anchors of the family, again, especially in our culture. Matter of fact, the 2004 October issue of Psychological Science says this and talks about mothers' strong influence on their children. And they say mothers have such a strong influence on their children that they are the ones, mothers, that help the child to develop a strong conscience. Not only that, but mothers help children to instinctively choose between right and wrong. Not that fathers can't, but you all know that it was probably mama that was there that poured into us to help us to discern what was right and what was wrong. Then also, if mothers don't have a strong influence on the children, they notice that children grow up to be more selfish and they're prone toward cheating and not playing fair with others in life. Now, this is just some of the small but yet simple but intricate things that mothers do in terms of their influence to pour into children to help us to become outstanding adults. And when that is absent, we are in a ton of trouble. Unfortunately, today we've got a lot of mothers and mothers that are coming along and may not have seen a great picture of motherhood, and therefore they are struggling not only with being a mother, but just being a woman. And we need to pray for our culture and our society. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3 gives us this picture, and what I want to use as a title is a celebration of a real mother. Look over your neighbor and say, will a real mother step forward? Look at this Old Testament picture that God gives King Solomon. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one said, O my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth while she was still in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night. And here's the reason why, because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him, somebody say she examined him. When I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then King Solomon interjected and said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the one dead. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, I tell you what we're going to do. Y'all know the story already? Bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child, cut the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. She yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. The other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but cut him in half. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill them. She is his mother. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw, listen to this, the wisdom of God, that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. To go back to that 26th verse, verse 27, I'm sorry. And the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him, because she is his mother. Well, a real mother step forward. I'm a father, and I have only the slightest clue of what it's like to be a mother. But mothering is extremely difficult. I've seen it. Whether you are a mother and there is the husband, father in the household, or no husband, but the father is present and involved and help raising and supporting this child, or whether you're doing it alone, mothering is extremely difficult. And when I look at this picture, I can't help but to notice a few things here that are the characteristics of a real mother. And I hope I say this in such a way that understand my passion. When I get to what might seem like a negative point about motherhood, I'm not scolding, I'm encouraging. First of all, let us understand, all mothers and all people, that there are no perfect mothers. I don't say that in the negative. Oftentimes we say that mothers are heroes. No, mothers aren't heroes. Mothers are real people with real feelings, with real challenges, with real pains, with real burdens, with real dreams, with real aspirations, with real purpose. They're real. They're fragile. God didn't design mothers to be heroes. God designed mothers to be mothers. And that is apparent in the text. And I hate to use this comparison, so buckle your seatbelt. But I ask myself the question, because you know what? If the Bible was my book, God, if the Bible is God's book, as a written revelation of who he is, it is his story, history. And so therefore, we understand that God says, I want to reveal myself to the world that they may know me. From Genesis to Revelation, every single page, every single paragraph is a picture. It's a snapshot. It's a portrait of who God is. And if I had to write my story, I wouldn't include in the story that the example I'm going to use of loving motherhood is from a prostitute. And I think God included this story in here to show us, I'm going to give you an extreme, he says, because most of you all probably don't fit in this category. But even when a harlot gives birth, she can become a loving mother. Did y'all hear what I said? The text says that these two women were harlots. When we look at the story, but we understand that their past does not dictate their future. We all might have a rough start in life. We all might even have a rough present. The question is not where you have been, but the question is where you determined to go. Yeah, I'm speaking to somebody here because it may be somebody here that you birthed a child into this world and it wasn't under the ideal circumstances and situations. It wasn't exactly the way you wanted or the way you planned it. It may not have been planned according to you at all. But isn't it interesting how God still works through that? It doesn't limit you from being a mother. It doesn't limit you because you're a single parent and you're unwed. It doesn't limit you because you were raped. It doesn't limit you because you were having a good time that night and got a little careless and a little reckless. It does not limit you in the eyes of God or minimize you to the person that had it all planned out, figured out, went down the aisle, exchanged vows, and did it God's A plan way. I figured out that God only has one plan, and that's his plan. But his plan is divided into an A and a B. One A, one B. Not one and not two. It's one A, one B. One A, my submissive will. One B, my permissive will. But both of them are my will. I hope somebody catch this today. There aren't any illegitimate children. There's illegitimate parents. If God is sovereign and providential, nothing catches him by surprise. God didn't scratch his head and say, what am I going to do with this child now? And the reality is, all have sinned and come short of the glory, and that includes every father and every mother, every man, woman, boy, and girl. We all come short. It didn't really make any difference how short we come and how we came up short. We just short. I wish I could preach it how I feel it this morning. Regardless of how these children are conceived, regardless of what folks might think and what folks might say, but God included you and this child and these children in his plans. God wants me, if you will, to be the spokesman, to give you a message for all mothers, even under the best situations and conditions, to relieve your burden of trying to be a hero and just enjoy being a mother. To relieve the pressure of what all the family folk and church folk might, and all the folk in the grocery store, and all the folks in school, and all the folk in the neighborhood might think about your child and the pressure that it puts on you because your child is not performing like the other children. Your child won't be still like the other children. Your child in church, they keep coming down to get you in children's church. God's got special plans for the children. Just enjoy being a mother. Motherhood is special. Lighten your load. Take some of that burden off your back of living up to everybody else's expectation and just trust God in the process. I wish I could take my time and say it like I really want to. When I look at this picture, I see that we can capture the picture that they're both raising or in the process of raising children by themselves, boys on top of that. And what I notice, there is no father in the picture. The men that they had, that they were conceived by, they were hired by, and now they have gone on about their business. These are single parents, outcasts from society. On the top of that, a tragedy occurs in the home where one mother loses her child. Does it get much worse than this? And yet we see that these mothers, both of them, we might point our finger at the one who said, this is my baby. She knew she had the dead baby, but you can't help her for wanting to be a mother. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we look at Bible characters and we point our finger and say, we look at a Jonah and say, you're running from God. How many times have you ran from God? I done ran a whole lot of times. She's doing the best she could. They're doing the best they can under the circumstances. I'll give you a prime example of that. Many of you all remember a few weeks ago, the Baltimore riots. There was a young lady, 42 years old, by the name of Toya Graham. Y'all remember the story? Toya Graham saw her son, 16-year-old. Out there, front line of the riot, yelling and screaming at the police, whatever he was doing. Ski mask on, looking like a thug. I call it like it is. I ain't running for office. Looking like a thug. I say, if you act like a thug, then call him a thug. She saw him on television, ran out of her house. She had a hair whip, too. I think she kind of brushed it up a little bit. Say, just in case I'm on TV issuing out a butt whooping. And she ran out, and y'all know the story, right? And served her 16-year-old son a beat down. Not just in front of this crowd, not just on national television, but on international television. There's people don't speak the English language that are talking about this. Fox News and many other networks, they deemed her as Mother of the Year. I saw the interviews they had with her. I don't think that's a good picture. Now, I know there's a lot of black folk, they applaud that. That's what that boy gets. And we understand what she said. She said, I'm going to quote what she said. She said, I beat the S out of it. So if anyone's seeing me on the news tonight, the reason why is so that he won't become a Freddie Gray. So I understand the reasoning and the logic, but I disapprove of the behavior. Now, I know we got a multicultural church, but black folks, stay with me for a minute. Some of y'all are going to say you ain't black enough to say what you're about to say, but just stay with me. Can I have a permission card just once? What I really see is a mother angry, outraged, uncontrolled and unbridled emotion, loving her son nonetheless. Ran out in the street. She could have just grabbed him by the arm and said, get your butt home. Then got home, pulled out the switch of the belt, and laid it on him. But no, anger, emotion. She served him a beat down, going for the head and face. He's walking away complying. She decides she wants to beat him some more. He goes across the street. She runs down, chases him down, beats him again. We don't even know what happened when they got to the car, wherever, the parking lot, how many other beat down he got. So, and then what everybody was doing is applauding. So what we're really saying is, her son is angry and the rioters and looters because of this situation. It seems crazy that they have unbridled emotions and burning buildings down and throwing stuff, but it's acceptable for a mother in her anger, unbridled emotion, to go and beat her son on national television. So it's okay, because if this had happened the week before, she would have been arrested. And it's okay for the conservative, stay with me because I love everybody and so does God, the conservative white networks to label her as Mother of the Year. Here's the reason why, because they love to see black on black crime. And that's exactly what it was. Black, just because you birthed a child in this world, don't give you the right to beat them in their face and head. Now I tell my kids all the time, now I tear that tail up in a heartbeat. When deemable, that is the absolute last result. But I'm going to make sure I do this. I'm going to take a deep breath. I am not going to chastise in my anger, in my frustration and unbridled emotion. And I know some of y'all black folk are thinking right now, well, it ain't no good after you done calmed down. How you going to whoop somebody and beat them after you done calmed down? It's because the reason why is the beating does us a lot more good than it does. What it really did was it demasculinized this young man. His mother, a woman, stood on national television, international, beat him down, not only in front of his friends. Folk, this boy live in the inner city of Baltimore. Y'all don't know about that. I'm from the east side of Detroit. Beat him down like that. He can't go to school. He can't go nowhere. He's under drug, gang influence everywhere. Oh, that's a boy. Your mama beat you down, boy. Here come your mama, boy. You better look out, boy. They will take advantage of him in the locker room, everywhere. They got to move out of the hood. He's got to start all over. Here's the reason why. She demasculinized him. And we rejoice that a black woman dominated a black male. And for conservative America, that's the picture we want to see. Did it need to be chastised? Absolutely. Did he deserve punishment? I even asked a few people this question. So, if he was adopted by a white mother And she ran out there in the street and beat him upside his head. What would the news be in the black community now? We would be some kind of upset. You say, because it's his mother. Well, she's the adopted mother. But she ain't black, so she ain't got the right to do it. So, you don't have to agree with me, but I know I'm right. It's because some of us grew up in that environment. And you turned out all right. So you feel like a beat down. My mama beat me down. My grandmama beat me down. Daddy, grandpa, everybody beat me down. And so your house is like color purple. All my life. I done got a beat down, so I'll pass the beat down there. It kept me out of jail. But look at you, just as crazy as you can be. You can't stop hitting people, uncontrolled. You go to work, you want to fight everybody. I need to get up off this subject because this is not what it's really about. Because what I'm about to do is I'm not going to praise her. I'm not going to praise her for her unbridled emotion and anger. But I will praise her for this. 40 years old, trying to raise a 16-year-old son. And my first question was, where's his father? I don't know the situation. It would have been a little different in my household because I would have been out there on the street. I don't know. Maybe dad was working. I don't know. I've read some things. I don't want to repeat them. But my understanding, she not only has him, but other children that she is mothering on her own, single parent, working hard every single day. She's an educated woman. Let me tell you something. I'm going to applaud her because she did what she knew how to do. It may not have been the right methodology, but I understand her heart. Y'all get that right there? I applaud her heart. But I hope that maybe she learned something from this. And then more so, we learn something from this. It helped me to understand the frustration of a mother in America, especially African American mother, trying to raise a 16-year-old son who's being pulled this way and pulled that way and pulled this way. And you don't want to lose your child. You don't want him to become a Freddie Gray. You don't want him to be strung out on drugs. You don't want him to be incarcerated. You don't want to have to attend his funeral. So you do the best you can. I started off by saying there's no perfect mothers. And even in the midst of that, we need to celebrate motherhood and praise and pray for mothers. Amen. All right. Now that I said that, something else I noticed in the text. Secondly, that sometimes we love our kids so much that we smother them. The mother, the text says that verse 19, that this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. This woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. She rolled over on him and no doubt either crushed or probably she suffocated him. But I stop and ask the question, because I know it wasn't intentional, how did she lay on him? Here's a mother and a woman who finally gets somebody to love her in return. Somebody that is not after her body, but somebody who just wants to embrace her for who she is and her personhood. Somebody she could look eye to eyeball to eyeball, and this person's going to look back in their own terms, love her unconditionally. She finally got that person in her life. On top of that, it's a male. This is her child that she can hold, that she can nurture. And she lays down in the night with a son in the bed, nurturing him, nursing him. And accidentally, when she closed her eyes, tired, working all day, doing everything she can to take care of this child, accidentally, when she closed her eyes to take her rest, out of her love, out of her nurturing, she smothered him. It's easy to do. when you have children and you really love them. You protect them. And sometimes the protection is too much protection until we smother them. You nurture them, and sometimes it's too much nurturing till you smother them. You either stifle their growth or you're slowly killing them. It's another way sometimes of even demasculizing children or male boy children when they're children and they don't grow up necessarily with major masculine tendencies. Because we smother them. Fathers smother sometimes too, but it's natural for a mother to smother in the nurturing process. Never get to that point where you want to wean them away. That's the difficult thing and the paradox about motherhood. You have something that the goal is and the heart is you keep bringing them closer and closer. As a matter of fact, every time they do something wrong, you bring them closer. Every time they fall and skin up their knee, you bring them closer. Every time they're under attack, you bring them closer. Every time you look in the aisle and see the smile, you want to hug them and bring them closer. Every time they fumble the football, you bring them closer. Every time they make a 3-point game winning shot, you bring them closer. And then one day you have to say, but I got to turn you loose. It's a paradox of motherhood. It's not easy, not only for human mothers, but even in the animal world and kingdom. This child died because his mother loved him. But she overloved him. And I said, all your mothers, love your children. But don't smother them. Sometimes we overcompensate for what our kids don't have and what they didn't get. Or what we didn't get. Because we didn't have material things, we feel like they gotta have every video game that comes out. And don't even keep their room clean. They gotta have every new sneaker that comes out. And won't even cut the grass in the old ones. We got to pay them for every decent grade they get on a report card. I got the idea. My friends, they were coming home with, and my grades were better than theirs, but they're coming home and they was bragging about, oh man, my mom gave me $5 for every A that I got. Gave me $3 or $2 for every B. And I decided about 2 years went past, kept hearing this. I ain't getting nothing. I'm straight on a roll. I ain't bragging, but I was straight honor roll to the third grade. But anyway, I was straight honor roll. My brilliance didn't last long, but straight honor roll. I came home from school one day to a hard-working dad who worked 3 jobs. I said, Dad, all my friends, they got $5 for every A, $3 for every B. I got all A's. My dad said, so what are you saying? I said, I was wondering, because I was afraid of my dad. So y'all grew up out like that? Oh, we ain't had no conversation. We had no sitting around chit-chatting. I try to stay away from my dad. You walk in the house, my dad look at you and say, did you cut the grass? I was just speaking. I ain't trying to look for no work. You clean out the garage? I said, no. I said, Dad, that's the other kids. Say, I was just wondering if you think you would want to give me like $2 for every A. My dad stood up and looked me in my eyes, looked down on me and said, son, I work 3 jobs. Ain't nobody rewarding me for hard work. I ain't ask you to work and pay no bills here. Dad, I'm in the 2nd grade. That's all you got to do is take your butt to school and sit up and pay attention and apply yourself. And you want me to pay you? You want me to, boy, you better get out of my face. Did you cut the grass? Going to cut it right now. I cut it this morning, but I cut it again just to get out of here. Mess around, hit me. Go upside my head, then you have me in the street, beat my kids. Y'all still with me? A real mother. Let me just ask it. How many mothers we have here again? Raise your hand. How many of y'all mothers feel like y'all got the wrong child? Raise your hand again. Your kids are probably at home in children's church. Raise your kid. I said raise your hand, not point at the child. Baltimore mom. Good Lord. The text says, look at the narrative. It says that the real mom, she was asleep. Somebody say she was sleeping. Sometimes it doesn't pay to go to sleep, but you got to every now and then. You can't be aware of everything. She was sleeping. Man, she was tired. She had her baby laying next to her. And while she was asleep in the night, another mother, somebody say another mother, stole her child. You ever felt like somebody done stole your real child and gave you the dead child? That this is going to tell the truth. Nod your head. I ain't going to tell your kids. It's that, and they all go through that phase in life where you just look up toward heaven on bending knees. God, I got the wrong child. Why my child couldn't be like this child and that child, and they ain't even good parents, and I'm doing everything I can. And in the middle of the night, when you dropped off to sleep and unaware, you thought everything was going great, and that mother came in and stole your child. That mother of all adolescent influence called peer pressure came in and stole your little innocent child. Now your child feel like their friends know more than you know. Why you hanging out with this one? This one ain't no good. Why you hanging out with that one? They ain't no good. These boys are up to no good. Them girls fast. They ain't up to no good. You're going to mess around and have a baby. You're going to do this. And you're going to mess around. Your grades are dropped. But my friends this. And my friend. No, they ain't like that, mama. You just don't like nobody. You always looking down on everybody. Oh, no, mama. He ain't like that. That mother came in, call again, peer pressure, adolescent influence, and stole your child. That mother of mind-altering control substance, alcohol. They just took a little sample of a friend's house and in your liquor cabinet, let's tell the truth. Next thing you know, they're tipping out at school lunch, and they're out in the car, the back of the building, and behind the building at the game, and they're just knocking it down and knocking it off, and you got a 16-year-old alcoholic on your hands. You thought everything was okay, you just took a nap. And that mother of controlled substance came in and stole your child. That mother of the street community called gangs came in and stole your child. You just oblivious to it. Church, reading the word of God, read about Christ and his blood shed on the cross and how the crimson blood washes as white as snow. Next thing you know, your son coming through the house with a red bandana hanging out of his pocket. And you talking about that, oh my son, he loves some Jesus. He got that red crimson. Don't know he's a blood. Think it's cute because he was flashing these little, doing all this right here and all that right there. You even in the kitchen, hey baby, how you do that again? What they do? My baby know how to speak sign language. It's gang language. The next thing you know, they got him in handcuffs. We always see mothers on the news. Not my baby. No, not my baby. My baby just went to the store. My baby ain't in no gang. I wouldn't know. Do you think I would know if my baby's in a gang? I see my baby every day walking through the house and come home from school. Got a red handkerchief in his pocket pleading the blood of Jesus. Y'all talking about he in the game. Come on, mama. Get with it. That mother called fear that alters your child's destiny because somebody in the school system told them they'd never be anything and they'd never get far in life. That mother called fear. And that mother called doubt. That because that child didn't see anyone else, quote unquote, succeed in life and to go far in life and make accomplishments in life and achieve goals in life. Now that child has given up. Because the child has given up, you're giving up on the child. That mother that came and told your son and daughter, and she's a real mother too, and told your little boy that I'll love you more than your mother can ever love you. 16 years old with a bad weave. And got her son's name engraved on her breast. Your son's name. And now she got his nose so far open you can back two tractor trailers in there. You can't tell him that. He was an honor student. Oh, she come walk every time you turn around. He's on the phone. He's texting. He's doing this. It's all about her. You done lost your baby because that mother done came in and stole it. That mother foster boy come into your house. That's Lion King language right there. Mother. Came into your house, got your little girl. Oh, you know, you trying to tell her. He ain't no good. He's jailbound. I'm looking at it. Just one conversation. I'm a father of daughters. I ain't never liked none of the guys they brought to the house. None of them. Nan. One of them I got to like, but shit, that didn't go well, but I should have went with my first gut instinct, and I got some gut to go with. I walked in the house. That's when Tim's. When Tim's was popular, you can tell the boys in the hood ain't doing well. They still wearing them khaki color Tim, them buckskin. I walk in the house and Tim's in the middle of my living room floor. Brother stretched out on his belly watching my TV. They gonna look back at me talking, what's up, Pop? I said, boy, if you don't get your behind out my floor, who are you anyway? I don't cuss much, but I told them where I try to preach and keep people out of. Boy, you go to, get out of here. You better hurry up for my daughter to come back downstairs because I don't want to hear her mouth. What happened to Rafik? Oh, he had to go. Guess he had a phone call or something. I don't know. Probably some other girl calling him. You probably won't mess with him. But he had to go in a hurry. So, you try to tell him. Ain't no good for you. That mother scratcher come up there and just influence. You can't tell them nothing. Honor roll students, grades just going down. How you going to get into college? Oh, I get into Canada. I just love Rafik. Me and Rafik going to go to school. Rafik don't go to school. He ain't going nowhere. Nowhere. He ain't got but one thing on his mind. I know I used to be Rafik. That's what I'm afraid of. That's another thing about parenthood. Y'all stop it. Y'all come running in my office crying. Oh, my son doing this. My daughter, she got wilding out, acting crazy. And I always smile. I ain't trying to be unsympathetic. I always smile. And I say, you were never a teenager? That clears all that up. And you were never a teenager? You never rolled your eyes at your mama? Now you might have got smacked in the eye, but that explains why one going this way and another going that way. I didn't say it wasn't consequences, but I say you didn't ever do it. You ain't never sneak off and do something. You ain't never get in trouble in school. Your grades were always up here. And some of y'all that got them grades off, that's why y'all want to hold that standard so high. But I'm going to tell you again, all sin and come short of the glory of God. Now don't go home and give your kids your testimony. Because that will backfire on you. That's just a license to sin right there. Well, you did it. You always in church talking about you were smoking weed. I said I was just smoking it before you got here, so then I would know what it's like to tell you don't do it. And I'm telling you, don't do it. Thirdly, I got to wrap this up. We're having too much fun. A real mother has to make real sacrifices. The mother of the living child, they both came to King Solomon, but King Solomon said, take the sword and let's cut the baby in half. You have half a baby, you have a half a baby. The real mother of the living child said, I'd rather give my baby to her that he might live than to kill my baby and cut him in half and divide him. The other mother, on the other hand, wasn't willing to make any sacrifices. I'm not going to criticize her. But it was all about her. I'd rather have half a child than no child at all. It can't be about you, Mom. Real mothers, y'all know it, because y'all are real mothers. You make sacrifices. A godly mother makes sacrifices every day for their children. You don't feel like getting up and going to bus stop. Today is your day off. But you got to get up anyway. You fix breakfast, a poor bowl of cereal, whatever you do. You make sure they got the lunch fixed. You do all those things. Make sure the clothes are ironed and the socks are matching and everything is clean. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You walk him down there to the bus stop. You could be laying in the bed. And he's 14 years old. He could go to the bus stop by himself. But a real mother makes sacrifices. A real mother would rather suffer personal loss for her children so her children can have. A real mother, she sacrificed her rest for her children's wellness. Stay up in the middle of the night. Go to CVS or wherever and go get an inhaler and whatever you need to do. Go to the emergency room. Not saying that fathers don't, but real mothers, that's what they do. They're willing to make those sacrifices. Real mothers willing to pass up on a pedicure to make sure the child has a decent pair of shoes. A real mother, she's willing to sacrifice that new dress and that new weave just so the kid can go to summer camp. Did I say that out loud? A real mother, she's willing to sacrifice her independence in order to gain her child's dependence so she can become a mother for a child. That's what this woman was willing to do. If I have to give them, first of all, I dedicate them to the Lord. That's where you start. If I have to give them away, let me first give them unto the Lord. And then I'll give them to her just so my child, but I'm making the sacrifice. And you women get up every single day and the mothers, you make that sacrifice. And we applaud you and we celebrate you. There's so much that you have passed up on. You passed up on continuing your education, some of you, so your children can have that education. You passed up on working a job so that you could get this promotion because the hours interfered with your children's activities and projects and homework and everything else you needed to do to be there with them. You've made and you're making the sacrifices every single day. And we applaud you. Because you're a real mother. But notice also, real mother can't do it by yourself. It takes God in your life and having godly people around you. Notice what this mother did, real mother in particular. She came to the king, and this is the setting that we close out with. She came to the king because the real reason why this story is here, the primary reason is not to focus on these two mothers and the child that died and the one that's alive. That's the secondary story. The primary story here, if we look at it in context, is that King Solomon had prayed that God would give him wisdom. And this is what he said. God, I done messed up everything. You done put me in the middle of your people. I can't even take care of my own household, my family structure I grew up in with my dad. Y'all know the story of David, his dad. It was jacked up, how I came into this world and all that kind of stuff, what my household looked like with my siblings and everybody else. It was a messed up situation. I had a bad model, and then here I am. I got women all over the place and doing all this thing, and I'm just a bad man. Now you want me to rule your kingdom? He says, God, I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for longevity of life. I'm asking for wisdom. Will you give me wisdom? And this is the reason why we come to the end of that passage and it says, and all the people heard the king's decision. And they realized that he was wise. And that he gave good judgment or sound advice. He made good decisions. This is what wisdom is all about. Wisdom is in two parts. It's not only discernment and how to choose the right thing to do over the wrong thing, But wisdom is the application and the strength that God gives to carry it out. Some of us know right from wrong, but we don't do what is right. And a real mother trusts in God. You have to trust in God. Real mothers and fathers, for that matter, and all of us. We may have come out, all of our families were dysfunctional. They've been dysfunctional since Adam and Eve. All of our families are dysfunctional. We haven't seen the perfect model. And yet, under those conditions, you have to trust in God. God, I put my trust in you. Matter of fact, read the Bible stories of just about everybody's family that they show their family life and structure. Go back to Abraham, jacked up family. Adam and Eve, jacked up family. Eldest brother killed a younger brother. Noah, he said, Noah, he was jacked up family. What did Father Noah do after, when we look at the end of the story? Jacked up family. Somebody say the grace of God. You go through looking at Isaac and Jacob, jacked up families. All the way through, just jacked up family. Even Jesus' family was jacked up. His own brother didn't believe in him, James. Jacked up. Dysfunctional. Well, how am I going to do what you call me to do? And raising this child or children without your grace, without wisdom, without strength. Just don't teach me what to do, but God give me the strength to do it. And when we do that and when we trust them, we can't always be responsible for the outcome of your children. But when you know that, listen, I didn't know everything to do and may not have done what I know was right, but God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Or God, I gave it my all and I trust you. And when you put your trust in God, God will always not only give you wisdom, but he'll give you a living child. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks. God, thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth. Thank you, Lord, for we realize that you've created not only men, but women and mothers in your image and after your likeness. And I pray today, Lord, that we would continue not only to celebrate mothers and women, oh God, Lord, today, but every day. Lord, they so deserve it. I pray your grace and peace upon their lives. You give them, Lord, strength that is unexplainable. Somebody's weak, somebody's worn, somebody's brokenhearted. God, give them grace. Lord, there may be someone here that may not know Christ, mother, father, sister, brother, or child. Pray they realize that Christ is the ultimate lover, the ultimate nurturer, the ultimate protector. Christ is the only one who's going to love us perfectly. Even in the midst of our sins, oh God, you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And your Son gave his life. And I pray today, if there's someone here that may not know Christ, that they would come to trust him. Lord, I thank you today for these people that you brought to this place. And I pray especially for every mother, every grandmother, every great grandmother, that you would season them with grace. In Jesus' name, amen.